Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life.
Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Whoa.
He makes a way when there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Worship you, worship.
maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
God here, touching every heart, worship you, worship you. You are here, healing every heart, I worship you.
That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Amen.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade.
Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. World isn't home. Come, Jesus, come.
Come, Jesus, come. There'll be no more war. There'll be no more chains when Jesus comes. Let today be the day. He'll come for the weak and the strong just the same. And all will believe in the power of His name.
Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come.
One day you come and we'll stand face to face. Come and lay it all down, 'cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past will be washed by rivers of grace.
Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. Turn this around. And deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come.
Jesus, come.
Lord, we just thank you for the day. We thank you for loving us. God, we look forward to that day when you come back. Lord Jesus, we just pray that everyone would be ready for that day. God, we love you. We thank you. We pray for Brother Darrell as he delivers your word today. God, may you be lifted up. May you be glorified. May you be honored. God, we just love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, 13 through 14, as we work our way through the book of Matthew on Sundays. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. We're coming kind of the home stretch of the Sermon on the Mount. And today, in the next few weeks, if the Lord wills, we're going to talk about two gates, two trees, two declarations, and then two houses, if we come follow the course of what Jesus said toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So today is two gates, if you see that on the title page, Matthew 7, 13 through 14, a wide gate and a narrow gate. So follow along with me as we read 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult, or sometimes some translations say hard, narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. In this section on the next screen, and there is an outline of this on the backside of your announcements if you'd like to use that. A lot of it, not all of it, a lot of it will be on the screen. In the section that we just read, two gates, two paths, two destinations, and two crowds. I'm not going to spend as much time on this message as I usually would. I'm just this morning just talk about the two gates and the two paths. Uncharacteristically of me, I just had this notion. I picked out four pastors who are reputable. Usually do a real good job, and I listened to them preach this. I just wanted to hear what they thought about the gates and the paths. It was interesting. Opened my eyes a little bit. Preachers can only preach what they are, and I noticed that the younger of them preached one way, the older of them preached a different way. Well, guess which one I am, the older. But it was interesting to watch them. The younger men, what they said, and I thought to myself, because I've been there, I thought, in 10, 15 years, when you preach that same thing, you're not gonna preach it the same way, because life has a way of opening your eyes and helping you see things differently. But all four agreed, and I wholeheartedly agree that the gate, there's a narrow gate and there's a wide gate. The narrow gate is Jesus. There's only one way. It's so narrow. We've lost the title page. But we looked for a gate that was so narrow, so close, so straight. That's what the word in the King James means, straight, close, that you can only fit one person through at a time. So that gate is Jesus. A couple scriptures are on your outline. We'll put them on the screen. A lot of scriptures I would usually use, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But in John 10, 9, Jesus said, and he's talking about a gate, actually. He was talking about the sheep and the sheepfold, and I am the door. Jesus said, I am the door. I am, remember in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, the life, not a way, not a truth, a life. The, I am the door. There's not another door. There's a narrow gate, a narrow door. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. 1 Timothy 2, 5. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir here, that you already probably understand, believe what I'm going to say, but I need to preach to the choir, and I need to do it again and again and again, because in our culture today, oftentimes this is the issue on Christianity or not, is our belief that Jesus is the only way. Paul wrote to Timothy and was instructing him. Again, Paul is preaching to the choir, but sometimes the choir needs to be preached to. And just be sure that we understand this and we all are on the same page. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, when others who are outside of Christ, outside of the church, outside of Christ, when they accuse Christians of being narrow-minded, say what? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I want you to own it. We are as narrow-minded as you can get. Why? There is a narrow gate. It's not a wide gate. There's a narrow gate that leads to life. There's a wide gate that leads to destruction. We are as narrow-minded as you can be, as you can get. There is one way through the gate, Jesus Christ. So we all agreed on that. That gate is extremely important. That is the difference between Christian and not one. Jesus. What is it? Jesus. That's the difference. That's the dividing line. That's the difference between a narrow gate and a wide gate. The wide gate doesn't have Jesus. You can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do. The narrow gate, that's not true. Jesus Christ, Him alone, I'm the way, the truth, the life. Now, interesting, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I'll be guilty of the first preacher that I listened to, going from the gate to the path. Why is the path so hard? It's such a difficult path. Why is it difficult? The gate is narrow. The gate is Jesus Christ. The path to it, the Bible says it's hard, it's difficult. Why? What is it about the path? So the youngest of the preachers that I listened to said, I mean, he just came out and said it, that it is hard to be saved. That it's hard to be saved. You got to work at it. I hope all of you in the room are cringing just a little bit. He said that it's hard to be saved. That Jesus Christ is hard to find. That you've got to search for him. That he's hard to find. And when you do find him, it's hard to be saved. That you've got to clean yourself up. You've got to, you know, you've got to straighten your life out. You've got to come to him because he's hard to find and it's hard to be saved. I think in 10 to 15 years, if I listen to that same preacher again, it's going to be different. Okay. Jesus is not hard to find. If you've been here the past few weeks, where is he? He's right there beside you. He's right there beside you. Jesus is not hard to find. It's not hard to be saved. I really hadn't paid just a whole lot of attention, especially, but when I was paying attention to the words of the last song about coming to him, there are rivers of grace. It's hard, it was hard, to be an Old Testament Jew. Because they had to keep the law, and they had to work at it, and they had to work just trying their best to keep the law. If I could just do better, if I can try harder. But then Paul wrote and said the reason the New Testament was written, because the Old Testament is written to show us, it's like a school teacher to us. The Old Testament was written to show us that we can't keep it. The law was written, oddly enough and ironically enough, the law was written to show us that we can't keep the law, okay? And so trying harder is not going to get you there. Trying to be better is not going to get you there because you can never be better enough. Interesting, we always talk about how good we are, but it's not our goodness that gets us there. It's the fact that we're bad and we know it and we confess it and say, Jesus, I can't do this. Okay. Aaron and I kind of encourage each other, prod each other by the phrase that preaching the gospel is not hard, it's impossible. And that's what I want you to get to. I know we're not talking about preaching, you're talking about being saved. But Jesus told us, he said, now it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. But he could really use any man to be saved. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. There's been a lot of different ideas on what the eye of the needle is, like there's a place that a camel can get. No, I think Jesus meant exactly what he said. It's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. Is it possible for a camel to get through the eye of a needle? The whole point of what Jesus is saying is no, it's not possible. It's impossible. Trying harder is not the answer. So the path is hard. So if we just try harder, we can be saved. If we just try harder, we can find him. No, that's not what that means. Because trying harder is not going to get it. So if that was true, that means the strongest of us, and here's what I know, that the youngest preacher I listened to was the youngest and the strongest. But what if you're not young? What if you're not strong? What if you're not smart? What if you're not fast? What if you're not good? What if you're not good enough? What if you're not strong enough? Does that mean Jesus is not for me? Because other people can try harder than I can. Other people are smarter than I am. Other people are faster than I am. Other people are better than I am. So is Jesus only for the people that are good enough, are fast enough, are smart enough, are young enough, handsome enough, or pretty enough, or whatever enough? And the fact is, I'm not any of those things. So is Jesus only for the successful? Is Jesus only for the strong? No. No, no, no. Jesus is for all of us. Jesus Christ tasted death for everyone. The weak, the strong, the handsome, the ugly, all of us. The good, the bad, all of us. So he's not hard to find. It's not hard to get to. It's not what that path means. The gate is still there, and getting to that gate. One preacher said, I really want us to watch this. One preacher said, well, living the Christian lifestyle is hard. Living the Christian lifestyle is hard. I want us to be real careful about that, about our portrayal to everybody else. We need to just not do that, okay? We need to not complain about how hard being a Christian is. Let me just ask you, if you think being a Christian is hard, do you remember not being one? Which is better, okay? See, that's not it. That living a Christian lifestyle is the hard path. A friend of mine asked me a while back, he was wanting to build his own house. And he said, well, he wanting to some tips on how to build his own house. He said, he wants to build his own house. So he asked me, he said, well, building a house isn't that hard, is it? And I said, well, I wouldn't say it's easy, but building your own house is hard. Being a plumber is hard. Being an electrician is hard. Everything good in life is hard, okay? If you're a single mom, that's hard. If you're a married mom, that's hard, okay? If you're a mom who stays home with your kids, that's hard. If you're a mom who sends her kids to daycare and goes to work, guess what? That's hard. Anything good in life is hard. So there's some hard parts of being a Christian. There's some difficulties in it. I get that. But I remember not being one. I remember not being one. And I'm a Christian because I want to be. I'm a Christian because I choose to be. So anything in life is hard. Working in a factory is hard. Working on the farm is hard. Building houses is hard. There's some parts of the Christian. I had a day last week. Everything I touched went wrong. Everything I touched went bad. And I think the Lord was just getting me ready for this, all right? It has nothing to do with my Christianity. It has nothing to do with it. Sometimes you just have days like that. Hey, I'm not going to get into that. Sometimes we just have days like that, okay? Jesus is not hard to find. And living the Christian life is hard, but anything that's good is hard. The hard path. Finding that gate, going through that narrow gate. Put this phrase on the screen, and it's on your outline too. It's not hard to find Jesus. It's hard to lose ourselves. Being the age I am, things I've gone through, what Scripture says, I think what's hard and going to that gate, which is Jesus, is, see, there's only two paths. There's only two gates. One's a wide gate. You get to do anything you want. You get to go anywhere you want. I guess, in a way, you get to act any way you want. You get to choose anything you want. It's a wide gate. It's easy because you just get to do everything you want. You make your own choices. You make your own decisions. The narrow gate's not that way. What I'm doing and what you'll do if you go through the narrow gate is you step off of the wide gate, step off the wide path, get on the narrow path. You step off the wide path and get on the narrow path. There's only two paths. But on the narrow path, you're going to through the narrow gate, and it's only Jesus. And so you have to get rid of everything else. That's hard. You have to get rid of everything else. So what you're losing is not it's ourselves. And I'm going to call it, since we're using a metaphor, I'm going to call it going through the gate again and again and again. I'll never preach to you about, I'm not talking about being saved twice or three times. I'm not talking about that. But since he used the picture of a gate, I'm going to use it, and I'm going to use it going, this, what I'm talking about is going through the gate and going through the gate again. And losing part of myself again, and taking off part of myself again, and stripping away part of myself again, and getting rid of some. And I was thinking this morning, and another way I could picture that, if we're talking about going through the gate again, is in cases where we may have to, maybe it's at work, maybe it's at some schools are this way, if you're at an airport, whatever, you're going through the security. You're going through the metal detector and the security. And I found out through an airport especially, sometimes I go through and don't have to take off my belt. Sometimes I go through, sir, need to come back and take your belt off. Okay, do not argue with them. Do not argue with them. And I'll say, well, the last time I did, no. You don't put your hand on your hips. Don't take your belt off. Okay, take your belt off. But, you know, the last time I didn't have to take my belt off. So I went to a hospital in the area that I've always had to go through security, but I wasn't used to the way they're doing it now. So I went up there, and I was used to just the way it's always been, what they've always asked for and always asked me to do. But it's not like that. Now I go through a metal detector, and they search you, and, you know, it's quite a bit more. Well, I carry a pocket knife with me everywhere I go, except the airport, okay? So I carry a pocket knife with me everywhere I go. So I went through. I didn't think about it, and I went through, beep, 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 you know, sir, empty your pockets, please, and I lay that pocket knife. The security guard, he looked at me, he said, really? He said, what are you doing trying to bring that knife? I said, I didn't know. He said, look, you either take that back to your car or I'm going to take it. And if I take it, because it's a nice knife, you may not get it back. Okay. I said, well, I'll be back in a little bit. They didn't ask me that before. I never had to do that before. But I went through that gate. I had to let go of things that I didn't used to have to. On this path, you're walking toward through with Jesus, and it's a narrow gate. And it's getting narrower all the time. And the difficulty, why it's hard, is because everybody else gets to be, so to speak, everybody else gets to be on the broad path. Everybody else gets to do stuff that I don't get to do because I'm on the narrow path. But the gate is Jesus, and that's the goal. It's not you. My goal is not you. My goal is Jesus. And he's asking me to go through the gate again. And this time, but Lord, you never, you know, I didn't know I was going to have to give that up. Well, that was last year. And see, this is this year. And I'm asking you to go through the gate again. And this time we're going to take your pocket knife. Last time it was your belt. If you're in the airport, you got to take your shoes off. Wash your feet before you get on a plane. You got to take your shoes off and your socks. Sometimes, you see? And he's asking me to go through the gate again, and it keeps getting narrower. Every year, every time. And he's at, but Lord, you know, why you just go through the gate with me and lose yourself? The problem with ourselves is what? Is ourselves. It's not, we don't have a problem with anybody else. It's me. My problem is me. And losing me, getting rid of me, is hard to do. It's painful. If you're listening to this and you're thinking it's not that hard, it's not that painful, it's because you're not doing it. But once you start doing it, you're losing your dreams, you're losing your hopes, you're losing, it could be, it, your plans, you're turning them loose. You may not lose them, but you're turning them loose, and you're giving it all to Jesus to make the decision. So it's no longer you doing it, it's him doing it. And that's the difficulty of it. It's not hard to find Jesus, but it's hard to lose ourselves as we keep going through the gate. I used to ask, Lord, why are you having to teach me the same lesson again? And a couple years ago, I finally figured out, no, I'm not having to learn the same lesson again. He's teaching me the same lesson deeper. He's going deeper. It seems like the same thing, but he's going deeper. He's taking, asking me to give a little bit more. Give a little bit more of yourself. And maybe the Holy Spirit's doing that with you also. I know he's doing that with me. That's not an easy path. It is hard to give yourself up. But that's what Jesus is asking for. I'm going to ask the musicians to come on up. This is going to be our prayer time. And we invite everyone to come and pray. If you want to come and talk to Jesus about anything, everything, this is the time. This is what our prayer time is for. I'm going to ask you to stand if you would. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with us as the musicians are preparing. I'm going to ask you to prepare. Jesus isn't hard to find. He's right here. It's not any harder being a Christian than anything else that's good, because it's hard to do good things. But it's hard to get rid of ourselves. What I want, what I want to see, what I want to do, what I want to be, where I want to go, the way I want to think, what I want to say. It's hard to give that up. But Jesus is standing at a narrow gate. He said, this is the way. But to go through this gate, you've got to shed some things off. You've got to get rid of some things. And I believe the Holy Spirit's talking to you about what some of those things are. If you need to come to an altar and pray, you can come to the altar. You can come and have a seat. You can stand. But if you want to come up front and pray, talk to the Lord about anything, we invite you to come and pray.
Mind if I tell you a secret? A few simple truths about me might be hard to believe. Guess I'm trying to come clean. Sometimes I don't know where I'm going. It's hard to admit where I've been. When I come to the end of myself, this is where I begin again. I hear